This episode is brought to you by LinkedIn Learning, the online learning platform with thousands of expert-led video tutorials to help you build your business, tech, and creative skills. For a free 30-day trial, visit linkedin.com/TMS and start achieving more today. That's linkedin.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, there will be dungeons.
We don't have burritos here.
I forgot my password.
I'll try 12345. Amazon probably did the right thing.
Burrito 12345. No more cheese rolling.
Recommendals and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I think global warming is real and important.
You are wrong. It is a belief.
That does not compute.
Your mom does not compute.
I do not have a mom.
Your mom does not have a mom.
I am leaving now.
Maybe that is just what you want me to think.
F*** off.
I finally got the thing out of my pants.
The Morning Stream. I am victorious this time, brother.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream for January 24th, 2018. I'm Scott Johnson.
And thar be Brian Ibbett.
Yar, I be here.
Yar.
800 miles away, yar.
Yeah, that's true. How many miles are you? Let's see. This would be fun.
Yeah. I know. It seems like I know this every year right around Nurtacular. And then
Let's see. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, because you've driven it, so you know. Here we go. Arvada to Salt Lake City, 519.6 miles. If you go via...
Oh, only 519.
Yeah, if you go I-80 east...
Yeah,
you'll get here in 7 hours, 45 minutes, it says.
That's why I think it's 800 miles, because I just equate the 8 hours to 800 miles.
Yeah.
Which would make sense if I was driving 100 miles an hour.
It's a lot of hours, isn't it?
It is a lot of hours.
It's weird, because I can get to California in 10 if I do the speed limit.
Sure.
And it feels so much further away than you do. You seem closer. Yeah. Is it because we got the mountains in front of us?
Mountains. I think, it creates some sort of imaginary blockade.
Yeah. This is a very interesting little thing for you, everybody listening to the show this morning. We hope you enjoy it. Hey,
geography.
Yeah, there it is. Look at that little map I'm showing the chat. Okay, well, hey, it doesn't matter. Today's a show. We got stuff to talk about. I have an announcement to make. Should I just make it?
Is it a new show with you and me called Unfreeze Me?
No. Are you frozen again?
Yeah.
Damn it. Hold on. Legacy podcast.
Who needs Unfriend Me? I want to start Unfreeze Me.
Unfreeze Me. Okay. Sorry, everybody. Thank you,
Jared. I'm making everybody wait for the announcement, too.
Yeah. No, this is good. You're creating a good stall here, which I like.
Suspense.
So, let's see. I should have something to help me do this. How about
announcement
this?
Music?
Let's do let's open the door. All right, they got a little door open in there, okay, and look what's inside of here. It's kind of creepy in here and stuff going on. We don't know what's around the corner, and might be something bad, might be something good. There may be treasure at the end of this catacomb. So we don't know. We got to get in there and find out and see what's going on. All right, so you hear all that and you're thinking, Scott, will you please get to the damn point and tell us what's going on?
I'm intrigued, though. I'm already really liking this, whatever it's going to be.
Well, for the last, I don't know how long, I have been teasing this. Probably, I guess I've been teasing it since last week, I guess. So it hasn't been that long. It's not like I've been holding you or giving you guys ADR for, or not, is it ADR? What do you call that campaign where it's all secrety? When people do like...
NDM?
Is it NDM?
Well, like a non-disclosure agreement or an NDA? What?
No. When Blizzard wouldn't show a character from Overwatch for like months, they just kept hinting at something. That's called a something campaign. What is that called?
I don't know. People are saying ARG.
ARG campaign. That's it.
Huh. Okay. I've never heard that phrase.
Well, I don't even know what the acronym stands for. Is it augmented reality game? No. It's something else. Whatever it is. Here, I'm still teasing him. I should stop doing this. Mush Potatoes has got a good one. I'm not going to say it out loud, but he's got a good one there in the chat. All right, anyway, here's the deal. We have been, and when I say we, me and three other individuals have been hard at work, especially one of them. I got to give him a ton of credit here when I talk about this. Hard at work on a new project that will debut this Saturday. live right here at frogpants.tv. And it's called, here, chat room, you get to have a visual. It's called There Will Be Dungeons. I literally gave away the title in the opening today. There Will Be Dungeons. Now there you're saying, well, Scott, that still doesn't tell us what the hell this is. Here's what it is. It's a live custom D&D campaign with me, Bo Schwartz. He's our DM. Mm-hmm. And the creator of the world we're going to be in. And when you hear about the world we're in, you're all going to flip your freaking lid. Or you're going to say, of course it is. That's probably what you're going to say.
I bet. Let me guess. There's a woman with a metal arm and transporting mothers across in a semi-truck.
Well, not exactly, but you might be getting there on inspiration. So... Uh-huh. So here's the deal. There Will Be Dungeons will be a kind of a seasonal show, which will tackle a campaign. Right now, this first campaign is going to be the four of us. It'll be me. Sorry, five of us. So I keep saying four. Bo is the fifth. He's the DM. This is Bo Schwartz. You know him from our Heroes of the Storm podcast core. And he does D&D all the time. He's super into this stuff, and he's really good at it. And so he's going to run the campaign. And if you've heard like any of our Next Jeopardy episodes of Core or any of that stuff, you know that he's got like a natural talent for sort of the gamifying of a world. He's really good at it. So I'm super stoked about that. This first episode, we're not sure exactly what to call it or this first campaign, but it's basically like Wasteland, sort of, you know, Mad Max.
Yeah, post-apocalyptic.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Perfect. Exactly. Yep. Now, soon, there will be a couple of things. There will be not only this live play-by-play active campaign that will happen every Saturday. Or most Saturdays. I'm sure there'll be one or two where we don't. But, you know, that's the plan. It's Saturday between... it's all mountain times I'm giving you here. 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. mountain time. Now, some of you are saying, wait, isn't that when you guys used to play Hero League with Kyle and Kristen? Ah, very interesting. That's true. And guess who else is part of our campaign?
I'm going to guess Kyle and Kristen.
That's right. Kyle Ferguson of Into the Nexus and many other cool things. That guy will be there. His wife, Kristen, will be there. She's utterly fantastic. And does a little voice actor work, so she's perfect for this. And she'll be there. And then the other rounding us out will be John Jagger, who is always there to make everybody laugh. So, and I'm playing. I should mention that.
Well, yeah. That was kind of implied.
So, we already have kind of like these previews of all of our characters, who they are, what their backstories are. That's going to actually be up on a podcast feed so people can hear it ahead of time. And so you're saying to yourself, well, Scott, I can't be there live. I don't have a way to do that. Is there any other way to get it? And the answer is yes. You can check out the VOD on Twitch, obviously, or we'll put the whole thing up on YouTube after every episode, or you can listen to the audio-only podcast, which we'll also make a feed for. So all that stuff will be in place and ready to roll as of our first episode. And now you're saying to yourselves, well, Scott, how do I find out more right now? How do I go bookmark something? I want to remember this. I want to go make a reminder. Go to frogpants.com/TWBD. That's short for There Will Be Dungeons. Frogpants.com/TWBD. That's going to be the homepage. There's not much there right now as far as links. There will be soon.
Oh, a cool logo.
Yeah, fun little logo. We got some cool animated stuff, too, when you see our like live stream stuff. It's going to be pretty
neat. Yeah, I saw like little smidgens of it on Twitter, like a little tiny corner.
Really cool. So go check that out. Bookmark it. We'll have a bunch of details and info there. But that's the plan. It starts this Saturday. And I'm telling you right now, if you have even a passing interest in either D&D at all, like the rule set of D&D and the general gameplay of D&D, or if you're interested... and post-apocalyptic sort of custom world design. And we're not, and this isn't like, we're not just lifting a Mad Max scenario. Very custom, very new ideas. Like even the backstories of these characters are super cool, not just common archetypes. I'll even give you a hint. My character's name is Nash.
Angry Matt.
No, not Angry Matt. It's going to be... Oh, I should have done something like that. That would have been really funny. His name is Nash Maggard, and you're going to hear his origin story on this podcast thing I'm going to put up. In fact, maybe at the end of the show today, I'll go back and post and put it in there just as a little teaser so you can hear this little four-minute story that I wrote for my character.
Very cool.
But Kristen and John and Kyle have all done the same. It's really cool. We're all making art for our characters. Like, I drew him the other day, and it was super cool. Oh, let's see how we're doing in this cave. Hold on a second. Oh, what's this? I think it's might be a trap. Oh, it's poison. Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
I roll for something. Who needs to roll? I don't know, but I just leveled up. I leveled up, everybody.
Oh, dang, dude. So there's going to be all this audio, like all these like audio cues and stuff going on.
Oh, yeah. We'll have like
fantastic
floor traps and doors opening and shutting and arrow. Like that thing I played yesterday. Yeah. Oh, I shouldn't open that door. Oh, shit. There's sewers and there's caves and there's like aptitude to drive cars because we're in a future where the machines are still there in this irradiated wasteland. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Very cool.
Anyway.
Very cool. Wow.
Yeah, so this is all happening this week. We've been talking about it for ages. Like forever ago, I approached Bo and I said, hey, you're good at this like gamifying stuff. You DM and things. Do you want to do something sometime? Oh, yeah, we should. And then months and months and months, I think even years went by since we first talked about it. We just finally said, you know what? Let's just buck up and do it. Let's take 2018 by the testicles and then squeeze really hard. And that's what we're doing.
So,
anyway, we're very excited. It's going to be, again, 3 p.m. Mountain Time. So that's 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, Saturdays. It'll go 2 to 3 hours every session, we figure, you know, give or take. Mm-hmm. Probably mostly give, less take. No, wait. What, when you go over, is that taking or giving? That's giving.
Yeah, that's a good point. Give or take. Take. You're taking more.
Taking more time, right?
I don't know. That's a really good question.
Well, giving sounds like you're giving more time.
Yeah, you're giving more. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, take away time. I think that's what it is. So it's more take than give because we're not going to try to keep people there for their whole
like
day.
Like you say, you know, I've got 11 plums, give or take. You think, all right, give me, maybe I have 12 or 13 plums. Take means maybe I've got 8 or 9 plums.
Listen, I'm just glad you invoked the plums thing again.
I will always invoke the plums.
Yeah, always. That's what Daryl says.
I finally got the thing out of my pants.
Oh, that's not about plums. Sorry.
It was a couple of plums.
Yeah, a couple of plums. Well, at least one. Or maybe a raisin. I don't know what he's got in there.
Oh, wow.
Throwing shade at Daryl. All right, anyway, the point is, check it out. And again, details, frogpants.com/TWB. Wait. Yeah, TWBD. TWBD. We're trying to make it an acronym that's easy to remember, and I'm already having trouble. TWBD is the thing. So go check it out. And I'm so excited, you guys. And even if nobody shows up, I don't give a rat's ass because
you're going to be having fun.
Oh, my gosh. That's all this is for. Like, the whole goal here. It's not some new enterprise. It's not some whatever. And I know there's a million people trying to do D&D things online. I get it. Our good friend Liam O'Brien over there at the most popular one with Critical Role. Steven, like Steven Schleicher. Exactly. Yeah. Critical Hit.
My son is even part of a D&D YouTube podcast thing.
Yes. It's the hot thing to be doing. It's not like we're going, bandwagon, let's get on it. Really, truly, this is I want to play games with friends. And who knows with campaign 2 or 3. Maybe invite some additional people on. Maybe there's a bald monk named Burbit Arbitson at some point.
Do I have to be bald? Does my character have to be bald too?
No, you can roleplay anything you want.
I've got my spiders out there everywhere looking and talking and reporting back to me. And I have no plums.
Yeah, no, because you neither took them nor left them.
That's right. The plums were taken from me, before I came to Westeros.
There you go. Anyway, it's super exciting. And who knows? Future campaigns may not even be. I mean, we may go superhero with one. We may go.
Sure.
Oh, hero one would be really fun, wouldn't it?
That would be really cool. Yeah, that's awesome. I can't wait to.
It's like I'm in 12th. It's like I'm I'm 12 again. and actually, that may have been right around the last time I played a lot of D&D, so I've forgotten a lot of these rules. Plus, we're at 5th edition.
That was the last time that I played D&D. It was with this guy named Joel Millsaps.
Oh, I love that name.
He was our DM.
I love that name.
Joel Millsaps. Amazing artist. This was all part of an art group called Acme Comics.
Yeah.
Somewhere, I need to find it, but somewhere, you know, in the recesses of our storage area, we've got these Acme Comics. But it was a group of us from that playing... playing D&D. Joel was always kind of the guy who for the comics would draw like the barbarian, you know, slaying a dragon kind of thing. We had one guy who was kind of always the sci-fi guy. We had another guy who was just kind of the whacked out artist and stuff. Joel liked to drink, and I remember at one party Joel wore his pants kind of, they were sliding down, and he was standing up in the pool announcing that he was Prince Namor, ruler of Atlantis. with his swim trunks kind of sliding down.
Oh, that's not good. I don't want to see his staff of righteousness or whatever.
No, nobody wanted to see that.
No, nobody does. Ain't nobody got time for that.
That was a hell of a path you let me go down.
I like that. That's a good path. Nothing wrong with that. But
Joel Millsaps.
It's been that long, and we're up to fifth edition rules. And I'm going to be honest. I'm going into this a little noobish because it's been so long. I just don't remember a lot of it, and a lot of it's changed. Obviously, Bo is way up on this stuff. So is Kyle. Like, those two are all up in the fifth edition, and I'm a little laggy behind in that regard. So it's going to be funny on that level alone, just watching me fumble around like an idiot and go, wait a minute, I just rolled an 8. What does that mean? And Bo's going to go, well, I told you, 4 games got, like, it's going to be great that way. Like, funny. The goal here is not to be super serious. We're not going to sit down and go, the heroes are alive with the fiery tomb of the... Like, we're going to have some fun there with story and characters, but we're going to laugh our freaking heads off. That's the goal.
I can't imagine not doing that with Bo and John and everybody. So.
Right. So we're...
Of course.
I even have dice. Got a bag of dice over there I'm going to use.
Well,
for my rolls, I'm just going to chuck them. I mean, I could use some web bullshit, but no.
No. You got to have tangibles.
That's right.
You can have a little minifigs.
That's a great idea, isn't it? Probably not for this first bit, but there will be art for There Will Be Dungeons.
There will be art. You could let me know if you need me to 3D print anything. Design a little minifig, and then let me know if you need me to 3D print it.
Brian, that's a good idea. I'm getting all excited here. Anyway, it's going to be great. Yes, and Kristen is awesome. And then some of you can say, you were all prepared to launch at me and go, Scott, you're doing a new project with all men again. Nope. There's a lady in it.
Have you gotten accused of that?
All the time. I get accused all the time of Frog Pants being a good old boys club, even though there's plenty of girl stuff going on. I mean, we love Nicole and Veronica when she's around, and, you know, my sister and every, you know, we try, we do our best, but
Wendy
I don't know.
Dunford. Yes.
Yeah, she's a girl. Last I checked.
She's a girl.
Yeah. Anyway, and they're all white. Yes, everyone's white in this campaign. Does it help Jay Calhoun that John is a little extra white? He's in the chat.
He's so white, he's actually reflective.
Yeah, he's in the chat, and even when he types in the chat, it's whiter than the rest of the chat. Like that.
It is. It's
that
like,
little space is all bright. It's hard to look at, actually.
Put sunglasses on whenever he types anything.
Yeah, he says he's clear. Anyway, people that are going to be most excited about this are the ones that already dig on the vibe that we have with Core and with our Hero League games, which the Hero League games are going to continue. They're going to happen on Core nights. So Wednesday nights after the show, we'll play Hero League with Kyle and Kristen and Bo and John. So because we don't want to lose those. Those were great. So that's an excuse for us to sort of just shuffle things around. But we're very, very, very
excited.
That's
so cool. When you played that audio yesterday and kind of the tease come, you know, the tease stuff before, I would have put money, well, I wouldn't put money on it, but I would have bet that you were planning an Overwatch League play-by-play announcer podcast.
Oh, hell no. No, I would be, I'd be too bad because I'd forget words for things. As much as I follow Overwatch and I really like it, I go.
Robot guy is attacking, shooting with the thing and the stuff. Yeah,
freaking,
arrows.
Like if I did it for Heroes, it'd be the best because I have names for things that are already wrong in that game, like when Nazebo makes a circle of zombies, I call it a circle jerk, which is terrible. You shouldn't be doing that. So I go, oh, we popped the circle jerk right at the last second and trapped what's her name in there with her arrow deal. Like that's how it end up.
Oh my!
And that would be fun, but it wouldn't be anything anyone who's serious about those games would like. So instead, we're role playing, and I cannot wait for people to meet my character. He is a badass mother scratcher. Oh. All right.
Oh, very cool. This will be great.
I don't want to freak you out or anything, but John's character is a little roguish. I know that's
a
shock to you.
He's not playing a rogue, though.
Yeah, but it's still, he's a sneaky little
rogue. He's got rogue elements. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a sneaky little bastard.
You can take the rogue out of John, but you can't take John out of the rogue. Something like that.
I don't know. People at home are like, he's way too excited. I am way too excited, you guys. I'm really excited about this. And we want to share it with you is the main thing. We could have done this on our own quietly over Skype and nobody would hear it.
That'd be ridiculous.
That would be dumb, given who we are.
Why keep everybody else from being able to enjoy that fun?
Why even discuss it in such a manner? Exactly. Like, who are we? Are we crazy? Are we idiots? Exactly. I know this, though. This is what I know. I know that it's time for Stump Dunaway, who is on the line with us right now. Hello, Brian Dunaway. How are you?
Oh, hi, Scott Johnston. How are you doing?
I'm great, man. It's so nice to see you.
Hey, before we get started, I got an announcement to make.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right.
Yep.
Yeah, this Saturday, I'm starting a Pathfinder podcast. It's going to be awesome.
Sweet. What time of day are you doing it? Is it around 5 Eastern?
I thought maybe 5 Eastern, 3 something Mountain Time. I haven't quite nailed it down yet.
Okay. All right. I like the cut of your jib there, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. First person I'm inviting on is Ibbot.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to. I forgot to mention, this Saturday, I'm beginning my all-new, brand-new podcast where I play Monopoly with a bunch of bots from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Twitch.
Oh, good, because then no one will watch that.
There will be hotels, I think is what I'm going to call it.
Yeah, there will be... There will be...
There will be free parking.
I love it. All right, well, I would actually watch the hell out of that. I totally would. Anyway, Brian Dunaway is here. He is here to be stumped, and we are going to take your phone calls. Oh, I forgot to run that up. Sorry, everybody who's already been calling. We're going to take your phone call here in a second. The number is 801-285-9395. If you want to be stumped or be part of the stumping and win something, then call. Here's a call right here. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hey, it's JR.
Hello, JR. What's going on? JR, where are you from? I've heard you before. Where are you from?
You haven't heard me before, but I'm from Troy, Ohio.
I thought your voice sounds really familiar. Troy from...
Troy, Ohio?
Troy, Ohio, JR is the name. I almost screwed him up. Yeah. Troy from JR, Ohio is what I was thinking.
No.
that works, too.
Yeah, why not? It's good to have you here. Welcome. How's Ohio today? Everything fine there in your fine state?
It's cold, but it's all right.
All right. Look, hey, it could be worse. You could live in South Carolina and wish you were dead. Just kidding, Brian.
Right.
Just kidding.
Hey!
Let's do this. Brian Ibbot, you want to explain how this freaking works and how it goes?
Absolutely. JR, watch out. Kristen's right behind you. JR from Troy, Ohio. We're going to be asking Brian Dunaway a trivia question here in just a moment. That's an old Dallas reference, by the way.
Good job.
I was born 2 weeks before that show aired.
Before that episode aired or before that?
Before the whole before show
the whole
started.
Show.
Yeah.
The whole show started.
Yeah. He's a young fella.
Yep. We're going to be asking Brian Dunaway a trivia question. The answer to that trivia question is a number. And Dunaway's going to give his guess. He's going to stumble around for a little bit. He's going to hem and haw and roll some 30-sided die.
It's called thinking.
Oh, thinking. Is that what it is? All right.
Yeah, thinking. Okay, all right, whatever. And then he's going to give his guess. And then we're going to turn to you, JR, and we're going to ask you, is the correct answer higher or lower than Brian Dunaway's guess? If you are correct today, you win a copy of Hugh, courtesy of Miles Langley, and a copy of Cave Blazers, thanks to our buddy the T, Terpster, who just doesn't have time for games anymore now that he's, you know, his house is a nursery, basically.
Yeah.
But that's what you could win. Your categories today: spiders.
Oh my gosh, spiders! Like the creatures,
insects? The critters, okay. Like the things you step on.
The
acronids. Number of spider eggs I don't want in my mouth.
What is the name of the answer to that? Is any, by the way?
Yeah, you don't
right.
Exactly.
Isn't it? How do you say what's the genus here? Anacronids. Anacrophobia.
Anacrids. Anacroids.
Anacroids.
Anachronisms.
You got a bad case of the anacroids.
Arachnids is the
arachnids
species.
Yes, it is. I totally get it. All right. Well, in that case, let's do
Arkanoids.
This.
They hit a bunch of blocks with a ball.
Oh, okay. Arkanoids. Got it. Nailed it. Arkanoids. Brian Dunaway. Here's your question. Let's see how you do, spiders.
Okay, spiders.
With spiders. I want to mention that Brian wrote this, and it's got my favorite starting to any of his questions.
Ibbot wrote it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Ibbot wrote it, and it says,
I don't write my own questions.
Yeah, let's not. We don't want to put the integrity of this contest in any bad light. Exactly. You don't. You don't do it. It says, spiders, man. That's the sentence.
Spiders, man.
Isn't that
man.
Great? It's pretty great. Doing things only a spider can. Like spinning.
That goes with that first sentence.
Yeah. Spiders,
you gotta,
man.
You gotta sing it.
Spiders,
you gotta
man.
Sing it.
Doing whatever a spider can.
I was wrong. I was wrong. Don't sing it.
Like spinning webs. Oh, that's it. That's where it ends. assuming it doesn't build its own web shooters to avenge its Uncle Ben, how many miles of silk will the average commons house spider produce in its lifetime? We don't have an exact species here to reference other than house,
common,
but it's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, common house spider.
Okay.
So
whatever that is in your house.
I don't have any common house spiders. They're all extraordinary.
Mm. You know, the one thing is maybe this will help you. They don't live very long, so I'll tell you how long they live, and then that will maybe help you. Here's your hint.
It will, actually.
Will? I won't tell you then. Forget it.
Oh, you jack.
Well, I mean, it's just, I'll say it's less than a year. They don't live a year, past a year. That'll help you.
Okay. Like the large bird-eating spiders and tarantulas and things like that, they'll live up to like 1 or 2 years, but your common house spider doesn't live that long.
Unless you put
especially if I see them.
If you want to see a tarantula die, here's what you do. If I told you guys this, when I was a kid, I had an aquarium where I had three entered, only one left. I put a tarantula in there, I put a bullfrog in there, and I put a praying mantis in there.
It's like you're trying to come up with your own variation of live rock, paper, scissors.
Kind
of,
yeah. It's a good way to put it. Well, whatever that combination is, the praying mantis beat everything. It ended up killing the bullfrog,
what?
And it killed
really?
The spider. Yep. Yep.
Wow.
Killed them both.
I also like that you created Thundercrarium.
Oh, three enter, only one survives. For some reason, Brian Ibbett or Dunaway's got a Muppet of animal from... Wow. It's weird hearing him yell when it's not him on mic, but it's fine.
It's like a slightly cheap knockoff of Animal. Like, because I don't remember Animal having yellow lips.
This is the worst bit we've ever done. Oh, he's back.
Oh, I think it might be the best. I think one of these days we need to have a all puppet version of TMS.
Oh my gosh. I would totally be in on that. I have a puppet too somewhere over here.
Do you have a puppet of Scott or
you
is
do.
It a puppet
you
of
do.
It's just some dude, but I could probably make him look like me, you know, a little bit.
We need custom made puppets. They make those. We need all
I know
all of
someone
us.
in our chat room who does that sort of thing for a living. So
I must order one.
Or just make us some puppets and we will advertise your puppet making business until the end of time on this show.
That's right.
That's what we'll do, a trade.
And I will pay you money.
Yeah, Brian has money, so much money.
Cash on the barrel head.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well
people are saying Patreon level.
right.
There you go.
All right.
Done. All right, break
it
down.
It's just like, you know, just get one of those eggs that hold pantyhose, put a couple of dots on it for my eyes, and done. That puppet's done.
Finished. Right. Easiest puppet ever. Brian,
so
what do you think?
miles of silk.
Yeah,
a common house spider can weave in its lifetime, which is less than a year, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, let me see. Bop a dop a dop bow. I'm gonna go with over 42 miles. No, I'm not gonna do that one. I would do that all the time. Okay. I'm gonna go with 68 miles.
68 miles. 68 miles. Okay, that spider would walk 68 miles, and I would walk 500 more.
Because usually they spin their webs, and that stays for a while, right? So they only like have to re-spin like every couple of weeks, maybe.
Yeah, that's true. This is all true. Well, let's find out from Brian Ibbett if that's the right number. Is that right?
68 miles is incorrect, JR. Is the correct answer higher or lower than 68 miles?
Oh, I have no idea. Let's go higher.
Higher than 68 miles. Let's find out if that is correct. If it is, you win everything Brian Ibbett mentioned. If you lose, it goes to the next person. Did he win? Oh no. He lost. It's not correct. The correct answer is, 4 miles is all.
Yeah, it's only 4. I felt like 4 miles was still pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, for a tiny little spider this big, I think 4 miles is damn impressive. Yeah. You couldn't even get me to go jog 4 miles today if you wanted.
Let's see you poop for 4 miles.
Yeah. Well, it isn't really poop. Let's not confuse everybody in the poo who thinks that's poo. Okay.
Although it is giving me the idea for the next trivia question.
That seems short, though. I mean, I walk like 5 miles a day most days, and I can't imagine a spider living a whole year and not able to spin out that far.
Yeah, but it
imagine.
Doesn't walk as far. It can't go as far as you do. Like, I don't think a spider goes more than.
Yeah, but he's got all day.
Yeah.
Only have like an hour.
That's true. Again, he's got all day, 116 days.
He could probably walk for 5 miles without a problem, but creating all that.
But pooping out a silk string? No.
Think about what 5 miles of that is, or 4 miles of that is, if you wrapped it all up. It's a huge amount that he doesn't have at any given time. Like, it's not just there for him to go. He has to build that up after eating flies and stuff.
Hold on. Let me see what's in the fridge. Get any more milk? Let me drink some more milk.
Things I learned today, spiders are lazy.
Yeah, spiders are lazy. That's the truth. All right, well, well done. Dunaway. We've passed this on to the next torchbearer, which will happen on Monday. Someone else could win these prizes, and that's fine. We don't mind. We like that a lot. It's Brian Dunaway, the Brian Dunaway on Twitter. And check out his new the Chutes and Ladders podcast coming out this Saturday. it's going to be good stuff. We're really looking forward to it.
Don't touch his funny bone.
Yeah. All right.
That's my new Operation podcast.
Oh, dude. I used to love... I thought... Operation's actually kind of stupid, but when I was a kid, I thought it was really cool.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? I mean, it's...
It's just not much of a game. You know what I mean? Like, it's just don't touch the sides. That's it.
Well, sure. That's a game.
Yeah, but it's a...
It's a game in the same way that hopping from piece of furniture to piece of furniture in your living room because the floor is hot lava was a game, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Did you do that, too? I did that.
Course.
The hot lava game?
Every kid listening to us did that.
Is that like a standard kit? Is that just like a weird built-in thing that we all
did?
It's
like a built-in thing like cats and litter boxes. Like it's intrinsically in the mind, in the subconscious of every child born that at some point you got to pretend that the floor is hot lava and you're hopping from piece of furniture to piece of furniture.
I kind of love, I love that idea that it's just, it's so universal that we all did it.
Well, it's so funny you say that because this Saturday I'm debuting my brand new podcast, Hop from Piece of Furniture to Piece of Furniture, because the floor is hot lava. I'd be doing it on Twitch for 6 hours. 6 hours, people.
Tune in this week. Oh, look, it's the news brought to you by.
Brought to you by my actual real podcast, which is Coverville. All right. Did you know, Scott? Did you know? That the lead singer of Cheap Trick, a guy named Robin Zander, and a guy named Steve Perry, who for most of its popularity was the lead singer of a band named Journey, were born one day apart. Cheap Trick and Journey, lead singers, born January 22nd and January 23rd, 1953.
Wow. That's
which
crazy.
Makes them both 65
what?
Today.
How are people born in the 50s already 65?
I know, right? I so like we'll it. Be celebrating the birthdays of Steve Perry and Robin Zander by doing a Cheap Trick and Journey cover story episode of Coverville. Come on, hang out while we drive down the street, the same old place that we used to meet. And we'll come to you with open arms.
There you go. I had to get some Journey in there at the end.
If you don't stop believing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, all that's coming up today, Coverville at 1 p.m. Mountain Time, coverville.com/live.
Steve Perry, 2017. I just need to see the guy. Oh, he looks fine. Yeah.
Has he shaved the mullet? I guess he never had a mullet. He just had long, stringy...
He's got some horrendous... Oh, yeah, that's gone. That's all gone. It's just short hair now. But he has a... He has a huge scar on his face. Like, it looks like he got a... Oh, he had a melanoma thing. Had a big old cancer mole removed from his face.
So, oh, yeah, I see that. Ouch.
Yeah, that looks bad. That's a bad one. Also, why is it you can't... You know what? Something I noticed. This is not a political statement. Or maybe it is. I don't know. But you can't search for images on Google without there being one Trump image in there somewhere.
Oh, really?
So if you search Steve Perry images, scroll down a bit, and there's some picture... Of Trump yelling with his eyes bleeding.
Oh, God, yes. Like with eyes and blood coming out of his mouth.
What that has to do with a Steve Perry search, I will never get. I don't get it. And this always seems to happen.
They say that the road is no place for a family. Right down the line, it's been you and me.
Trump doing journey songs is a great idea. That's really good.
Just a small town boy. Living in a lonely world.
It's really
she
good.
She took the midnight train going anywhere. Just, I guess I screwed that up as a girl.
Whatever. You're Trump. You're Trump. You get to do that.
Born and raised in South Detroit. I've been to Detroit. It's very nice.
I really want this. This is the thing I want. I want spoken word, journey, lyric translation, Donald Trump. That's really good. The chat room's saying no, but whatever.
Well, just Monica. And we don't even know what she's saying no to.
I think she's saying no to the previous senior geek, which is search Stormy Daniels. Yeah, do not do that. Yeah,
don't do that.
Yeah, you're going to get an eyeful if you do that. Don't recommend it. Let's get to this first story here. We got this story about a man charged with a DUI. Not a big deal. Usually wouldn't make any kind of national news. However, he got the DUI after ordering a burrito at a bank drive-thru.
I like this. Like they're going to deliver the burrito in the vacuum tube.
That's a great idea. I want that for food places. Yes. Oh, dude, if I was going to start a restaurant, that's what we'd do. We'd buy out an old bank and then keep using their pneumatic tube system to deliver food.
Sounds great on paper until you get one that's, you know, full of a spilled Coke and fries.
Oh, good point. This would, you know what? You almost have to be a burrito service. Like, that's all they send you? Because drinks, see, you know, drinks and stuff would be a problem. That's true.
You wouldn't even know, right? Like, if you did like Chipotle or Qdoba sized burritos, you wouldn't even need those pneumatic tube cars, right? You would just actually put the burrito right in the pneumatic tube, close it, shunk, and then it would show up right next to the car.
I'd eat there fortnightly for serious. Love this idea. Thunk. Yeah. Anyway, so this guy is an idiot, and we'll explain why. Here's the deal. Okay. He said the Florida man, yes, of course, was charged with driving under the influence after mistaking a bank drive-thru for a Taco Bell. The Tampa Bay Times reports 38-year-old Douglas John Francisco. I left my heart in John Francisco. That's all I'm going to do there. Was arrested Wednesday evening outside the Bank of America branch in Spring Hill. The Hernando County Sheriff's Office said employees spotted Francisco passed out the bank's drive-up lane after the workers banged on his car for some time. Deputies say Francisco woke up and tried to order a burrito. When the branch manager told him it wasn't a Taco Bell, he reportedly drove to the front parking lot. Deputies say they found Francisco in the driver's seat with his car running. He was arrested after failing a field sobriety test. Durr. And he was freed Thursday on $500 bail. This is last week. Jail records didn't list an attorney. So anyway.
My guess is that when after he got out of the drive-thru and went to the front parking lot, he just passed fell asleep again.
Mm-hmm.
I just still tap on the window when it's time to deliver mine.
I just love the idea that somehow you're so drunk. I mean, in a way, this is really sad because you should never be this drunk, but so drunk you think you're in a Taco Bell line and it's really the bank. Like, that's ridiculous. That is, and you shouldn't be in a car. Like, dude, you're going to, if you can't tell the difference between a bank and a Taco Bell drive up, you're also a huge hazard on the road. Like, don't be driving. Whoa.
That explains why a Taco Bell was so pissed off when I tried to make a deposit. I made a deposit in the lobby, if you know what I mean.
I love the idea that he did both. Like, it was confusing because he'd swapped them. I'd like to, can I take some cash out with that also? And then I need to put a little bit in checking. Sir, this is a Taco Bell.
Right.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'm amazed. I would be surprised if this doesn't happen weekly to somebody who works in a bank drive-thru.
Oh, interesting. You think it's a common deal?
I think it probably, well, I guess maybe not, because banks close at 5.
Yeah.
Or 6, maybe. That means this guy had to be that drunk that early in the day.
Yeah.
This isn't like a, oh, man, whiskey all night kind of thing. At 2 o'clock in the morning, time for fourth meal. Let's go to the Chase Bell.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I guess
Wells Fargo Bell.
It had to be during business hours, right?
Yeah, right.
What a weird deal. Well, anyway, we wish him the best and hope that his life is full of less weird things. Right. Hey, Amazon in the news. They pulled a kid's clothes line that had these words on it. And you tell me if you think they did the right thing or not. The words that had gotten on these shirts, and it had slipped past them, apparently, whatever their quality protection stuff is. Mm-hmm. The words were, slavery gets shit done.
Yeah, I can see that being a little bit of an issue. Yeah. I think that...
Yeah, I think you're right.
not with a lot, not without a lot of hemming and hawing is the problem.
Right.
Oh, that's not what the complaint is about. Like, it's not complaining that it's inaccurate, that slavery doesn't get shit done.
You're right. We still like to be reminded.
They don't like the word shit. That's the problem they have with it, right? That's the issue?
Yeah, or done. They think that's too final. They don't like the word done. It says they've been pulled from sale by online retailer Giant Amazon.com Incorporated after criticism from shoppers and this is the part that I'm going to be annoyed by, anti-slavery groups. Now, shouldn't everyone by default be an anti-slavery right. person?
Yeah, we pretty much should all be members of the anti-slavery group. It should be like a unanimous worldwide... We're all part of the anti-slavery group.
Yeah, it's like I don't have to tell
However,
you.
However, the pro-slavery groups are all for it and have bought them out of stock.
But I don't have to tell you, Brian, that I am anti-put a hot coat hanger in my penis hole group.
Oh,
right? I don't have to tell you that. Why? Because nobody's pro that.
Right.
I think it's the same as slavery at this point. Nobody's pro. If they're pro-slavery, what the heck?
I would like to think that we live in a world where everybody is... anti-slavery, and I'm worried that an article a week from now is going to say, "Oh, Brian, no, you're so naive. Here's an article about pro-slavery groups in, Building Dong, Mississippi, or whatever."
Building Dong.
Building Dong.
All right.
I wanted to make sure I didn't pick an actual.
Yeah, I think
city
you,
in Mississippi
you
that we might have a listener in.
No, I think you steered very clear of it. Building Dong is the least
building
Mississippi
dong,
sounding
building
thing.
Dong.
Yeah, Building Dong. I'm going to say that there are absolutely, there's trafficking going on right now. Like, there's sex trafficking, and there's trafficking of young people, and there's all sorts of things that you could put in the slavery category. You could also argue that in a lot of cases, not all of them, but in a lot of cases, prostitution rings are all about giving the pimp and whoever's in charge the money, and the working girls barely subsist. And so there's forms of it. I'm just saying, and like an organized group, like when was the last time somebody got up and gave a TED talk and goes, this whole slavery thing's got a pretty good spin to it. Let's see if we can.
I want to get up and tell you about how slavery doesn't deserve the bad rap that it gets.
Oh my gosh, worst TED talk of all time is what that was. Anyway, there's a range of products featured the slogan, from mugs to bags to t-shirts. These t-shirts are modeled by young children. They may have been photoshopped, but whatever. We're listed by third-party sellers and have been removed from the site. Quote, all marketplace sellers must follow our selling guidelines, and those who don't will be subject to action, including potential removal of their account. An Amazon spokesman said in a statement, the products in question are no longer available. So basically, Amazon did exactly what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But like a lot of services where once you're a partner, a retailer partner, you can change your stuff.
You want up there.
Yeah. Right. You can go tweak your stuff. And if you put something up that's bad like this, you're breaking the platform service.
Yep.
Let's see. More than 40 million people are living as modern slaves last year. Oh, here's some numbers for you. Either trapped in forced labor or forced marriages, according to the United Nations International Labor Organization, or the ILO, and human rights group Walk Free Foundation. Children the same age as those modeling T-shirts will be forced to work long hours with no pay in desperate conditions where starvation, beating, sleep deprivation, and other things are common, says David Westlake, chief executive of IJM UK. Well, I guess we need these groups then.
Yeah, I guess so. Thank goodness for them.
I take it all back.
Yeah.
Pro or anti-slavery groups.
And here's the sad thing. It's probably, the sweatshop in Bangladesh where they made the tote bags, coffee mugs, and t-shirts that these slogans got printed on, sadly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're probably right.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like truth in advertising.
Anyway.
Let's move on to this story.
Please.
How about this one? Stilton cheese? I've only ever heard of it through, what's the name of the guy and his dog? The animated thing? Wallace and Gromit?
Right, Wallace and Gromit, right.
I've only ever heard of Stilton cheese there. I've never eaten Stilton. Have you eaten a good Stilton?
I'm pretty sure I've eaten Stilton.
Okay.
I think I don't think there's a cheese that I haven't tried, like, on a charcuterie plate at some point or not. I love a good charcuterie plate.
Is that what the hell is a charcuterie plate? I've never heard of it.
That's where you get, like, you go to a restaurant and you might get this as like an appetizer, but it's a plate that's got a bunch of different cheeses on it, some sliced, some crumbled, some gooier cheese, and crackers, and different kinds of meats and salamis and things like that, and you just try them all in different configurations. That magical mix.
My wife just made one of these things you're talking about, and I didn't know how to name. I just thought it was a plate full of cheese and meat. So.
Yes, it is a charcuterie.
Charcuterie. Ask your doctor if charcuterie is right for you. An annual cheese rolling event in the village famed for its dairy connections has been canceled. No longer seems as cool. That's right, the Stilton cheese rolling event canceled because it ain't cool anymore.
It ain't cool.
Yeah. It's taken place for more than 50 years in Stilton, Cambridgeshire, which has some claim to being the home of its namesake cheese. However, the organizers canceled the May event, citing lack of interest. Only two teams registered for this year, but it is hoped it will go ahead with 2019. In recent years, there has been a disappointing lack of enthusiasm for taking part in the cheese rolling.
That's a bummer, because it feels like that would be a fun thing. Like, mm-hmm. I would go to to the annual cheese rolling, the Stilton rolling event.
I would watch this. Sounds like
Cambridgeshire.
Yeah, I'd watch people roll cheese.
Totally.
It says here, to make the contest, this is a quote. They say, to make the contest work, we need 12 to 16 men's teams and 8 to 12 women's teams. Wait a minute. Why do the men's teams get more and the women's get less?
Oh, I don't know.
That doesn't make sense. You're just rolling cheese.
Right. Well, you know, Cambridgeshire women and their stamina for cheese rolling, you know. I don't know.
Hey, I got a question for you. This reminds me of something.
Sure.
Not that, you know, we're not a show about gender arguments all that often, but what if the Academy Awards quit separating men's and women's categories? Why did they even do that? What's the point of that?
Yeah, you know what? I like that idea, but how would you, I mean, basically that would cut a couple of the categories, would basically cut a couple of categories in half, the supporting and the best actor. So you'd almost need to now do what the Globes does and have different types of movies, best performance in a comedy movie, best performance in a drama, but you get all sorts of arguments of like, well, Get Out isn't a comedy or musical, which is the...
Well, the other way to do it is just give you more slots. So like they did with films, instead of having 5 nominees for Best Actor, go 10 nominees for Best Actor. And then you've got a mix of people. And there'll always be those years where it's like all women, or this year it's like 5 guys and 2 ladies, or, you know, like there's always going to be that. But I don't understand why that's a separate thing. It doesn't make sense to me. It's not like there's some big distinction. It's like, oh, no, you could never compare a performance by Meryl Streep to one by Robert De Niro. How could you do that? Well, of course you could.
I'm looking forward to a time when we have our first transgender actress that gets nominated, actor or actress, that won in the previous category, like basically wins in both categories.
Well, has Maggie Gyllenhaal ever been nominated? See, that's just a little joke there, because a long-running joke about the Gyllenhaals, if you go back and listen, this isn't Scott making some stab right now at transgenderism. It's a Gyllenhaal joke, okay? So go back. Don't send me your emails. Keep yourselves to yourselves, all right?
You'll get even. There will be emails.
That's my new show this weekend.
There will be emails.
Yeah. All right. Anyway. Let's take a break. You put something about... Oh, we're going to do that one tomorrow.
Oh, okay. All right.
Just because we're out of time. That's all. I skipped the one that seemed the least whatever.
I figured, you know, since we didn't have Tom, maybe you needed something else. But.
Well, you know what? Actually, there's enough time. And Nicole she's coming early, but she was rushing home to do it. So maybe we can do this. Let's do this.
Oh, okay.
Hawaii's governor, all right, the guy that was largely people have been blaming for that missile alert that turned out to be false.
Hmm. I'm surprised they blame him. I mean, he didn't. Did he? He didn't push the button. Well,
someone who works for him did, and so he has to be the front facing. You know,
all right. Yeah, I guess you need a
But here's the problem. He couldn't react to it and reassure people because, or any sooner anyway, because he forgot his Twitter password.
Whoops.
Dope. When Hawaii pushed out the ballistic missile alert earlier in the month, Governor David Ig, whatever it is.
Where is this? I'm sorry.
It's the first line.
Oh, Ig. I guess he's, if that's a Hawaiian name.
I don't know. Is it? Is he a Hawaiian guy?
G is a Hawaiian letter.
I recognize.
G is one of the.
Maybe it's just Ig. I recognize David. David's easy to recognize.
There you go. Let's just call him David. Yeah. Governor David.
Yeah, that one's not hard. He knew within 2 minutes it was a false alarm, but he couldn't hop on Twitter and tell everybody because he didn't know his freaking password. He says, quote, I have to confess, I didn't know my own password login, I didn't know my own Twitter account and passwords, he told reporters Monday after giving his State of the State address. I will be putting that on my phone, he says. Oh, great. Someone can hack it and get it, and then that's
right,
great.
Exactly. I don't know. I'd say forgot password. Click. Mother's maiden name.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Plus date, birth date, plus 1, 2, 3, 4.
Penny in the chat room says it's Ige, that he's Japanese. David Ige.
Ige. Oh, he's Japanese. Because a lot of folks in Hawaii are Japanese descent, right?
Correct.
Yeah. That's true. It took another 15 minutes before the state relayed that the news on social media. It took 38 minutes after the alert was sent and to let people know it was a false alarm, which is really bad. Under a mounting criticism about delays, EJ, is that how we said it? EJ told the Honolulu Star Advertiser, did you go there?
No, we had them as a customer, but I did not get to do the installation. Are you kidding? The salespeople totally said, we'll go back. We'll do that one.
Yeah, we'll get this one. We need to take some special time.
They came
time.
Up with some reason why they. Well, we want to upsell them on some more products. So we'll do the installation and work on sales. Like, I'm sure you will.
That sounds like horse poopy to me.
A total horse poopy.
Anyway, I don't suspect that Hawaii will be caught with their pants down again after this. I think they're gonna probably. And you know what? Hats off to the guy for coming out and saying, you know what? I don't even know my password. Like, clearly they need to tighten some stuff up there in their state. It's not just one big Honolulu freaking wear flowers around your neck party all the time. Sometimes there's some serious business to be done.
Right.
So get in there, Mayor. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Recommendals with Nicole Spagnolo. Tom is not here. He's out of town. I'm running DTNS today, or at least I'm co-running it with Sarah Lane today. So that'll be a nightmare. I don't mean because I'm with Sarah. I mean because I suck. So very much looking forward to that also happening later. But let's get Nicole in here a little bit. Before that, though, take me musically through the next couple of minutes, will you?
I will. So we're going to be listening to a band called Hibou, H-I-B-O-U. Brand new album called Something Familiar, which comes out March 2nd on Barsuk Records. It's a Seattle independent label. Big thanks to Barsuk Records and to, who was it out there? It was Chris. Chris at Barsuk Records who sent this over to me. Hibou is the project of musician Peter Michel, who makes these pop songs that are kind of airy and light and vespertine, but also crisp and deliberate. These are descriptions from the email, but I feel like it's completely accurate.
Sure.
In 2015, he released his self-titled debut, a home-recorded album that Pitchfork, Stereo Gum, and Consequence of Sound found to be very enjoyable. I found this very enjoyable. This is a brand new song called Fall Into. Once again, it is the first single off of the brand new album coming out March 2nd from Hibou called Something Familiar, H-I-B-O-U, if you want to go check it out. Here is Fall Into.
The Korean word for bum is Hibou. It's very close to Hibou.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it reminds me of that. So my brother,
but with a P?
My brother used to say Hibou Jiggy, Hibou Jiggy. And I'd say, Matt, what are you saying? He goes, Hibou Jiggy. Well, eventually I found out that Hibou Jiggy meant nasty stuff with your bum. That's what it meant.
Oh, jeez.
I don't want to get into details here, but thanks
it's
a lot.
Changing
man.
That whole Will Smith song for me.
Yeah, Hibou Jiggy. Get jiggy with it. Exactly. Get jiggy with the Hibou. Yes. Oh,
yeah.
That's not good.
Oh,
all right.
Man.
Fall Fall Into is the song. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Hello, world. It's Scott here talking real quick about our buddies over at LinkedIn Learning, now featuring Lynda content. Lynda.com, you may be familiar with them. Leader in online learning for the past 20 years. That's how you know them. LinkedIn Learning is for problem solvers, for achievers, for people who want to make things happen because you want to improve your productivity, get better at time management, or lead efficient meetings. Everything you need to accomplish and more is on LinkedIn Learning. If you're looking to lead a more productive and efficient life, LinkedIn Learning has courses on overcoming procrastination. I could use that. Time management foundations. Could also use that. And personal effectiveness. Could definitely use that. They also offer quick tip courses for software like Outlook, Excel, QuickBooks to boost your productivity. LinkedIn Learning has courses for all experience levels, and they cover a wide range of technical skills, including business techniques, strategies, creative techniques, and more. I use it for all my Adobe stuff, and if you're like me, you should be doing the same thing. With this membership, you can find the right video course for you out of their extensive library, explore course recommendations that are curated just for you, learn at your own pace using any method you prefer, and you get transcripts even from the videos if you want to sort of have stuff on the go or after the fact. No hidden charges or upsells, access to all the courses you want, all for one monthly price, and available worldwide. Learn from anywhere, computer, tablet, mobile device, does not matter. We've got a special deal for you. Get 30 days free with LinkedIn Learning today by going to linkedin.com/TMS. That's linkedin.com/TMS. Go today. Learn something.
Shitholer. 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 Shitholers built this country. I'm proud to be a shitholer, and I want a t-shirt.
That's it.
What's it?
That's it. Give me my pants. I've got something to attend to.
The Morning Stream. Mock death at your own peril.
We're back, everybody. Welcome back. I like that song a lot.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
A little bit of an 80s vibe to it.
Yeah.
It's in the tantrums kind of thing going on as well.
Yeah, it's real good. I could listen to more of that. I think I will actually do that. I will track them down and listen to more. This is the value of having one of your little indie businesses exactly. Come on the show, you guys.
That's exactly it. Yeah, so you'll have to check out his first album, self-titled album, H-I-B-O-U. And you can find him, by the way, on Facebook at Hibou Band, H-I-B-O-U-B-A-N-D. Mm-hmm. Or hibouband.tumblr.com
or hibujiggy.net.
That is not, I will not support that.
Yeah, don't look that up. It's a bad idea. All right.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get Nicole all up in this, see what we can do. Here it is.
Oh, Nicole, my sweet Nicole.
That's right, everybody. Nicole Spag on the phone, talking movies and streaming TV shows and all kinds of cool stuff for recommendals. Nicole, it's good to have you. How are you?
I think it's funny you still call it a phone.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I do the
like,
same thing.
Hang up that phone.
That's the other thing is I'll say, did we record? Yeah, I got it all on tape. Yeah. I'll say that all the time.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Can't help it. Can't help it. These old terms just stick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of sticky things.
That's true. Oh, jeez.
I'm not sticky. Everything's fine. Actually, I am a little sticky. You want to know what happened? So this morning I was making a chai tea, which is like redundant, right? Because chai means tea. Someone told me that the other day. I got to quit saying chai
really?
Tea. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a kind of tea. I mean, Darjeeling means tea, but it's still.
But is it
still
like me?
Darjeeling
but
tea?
Is it like me saying?
It's not like saying ATM machine, where the M is literally machine.
It's a good point, chat room. You have to weigh in on this. I think it was one of them that told me this, so maybe it's not a problem. But anyway,
the TMS.
Here's what happened. I'm making a chai this morning in the and I'm thinking, oh, you know what I could go for? I could go for some creamer here because I like to put a little creamer in there. And I got this French vanilla creamer, so I get that out of the fridge. I go back over to the Keurig, and it's doing its thing, you know, and squeezing its business out. And I took that thing and I shook it because I always shake it. I want to get a nice, you know. I don't want anything at the bottom. I don't know if that even happens with creamer or not, but
right.
But I'm shaking it. Well, whoever used it last didn't push the thing in the top down all the way.
Oh.
So it went all over me, and I got all sticky until I showered, and now everything's fine.
I did that with a bottle of dressing, and Mark picked it up and went to shake it. It went all over him.
I like that he.
It's funny because he. I'm going through all of our old Wood Whisperer videos, and he wore that shirt with this huge like salad dressing stain on the very for one of the very first episodes of the Wood Whisperer.
Yeah,
and he tells that story.
Wow,
so, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I love that it was him and not you, though. I do like that.
Like so, I'm smart enough to check the cap.
That's right.
So chai is a word for tea in numerous languages derived from Mandarin Chinese. So
it is like saying TT or machine.
It is exactly right. Okay. It's like saying
TT.
I'm wearing a sombrero hat.
Right. Or I am wearing what's another good one? I have a rubber condom on. No?
So no. It's not like a different language thing. It's like you could be using that as both a noun or an adjective.
Oh, latex could be. Yeah, you could say latex. No, actually, I was just letting you guys know that I am currently right now as we talk, I'm wearing a rubber condom. No, I'm not.
Just because. You
know, I wear two in my daily life, and then when I'm ready to have sex, I take one off and I feel like a madman. That's an old Dennis Miller joke.
Well, good. His jokes live on in Brian Abbott.
That's right.
Let's get to it. We're going to talk about streaming stuff, and I believe that the tradition of having Brian go first shouldn't change today, so we're going to start with you. Brian, do you have any setup for your clip, sir?
I'm going to set one thing up here because I've been watching Ozark on Netflix. We're six episodes in. Damn, I'm loving that show. Great recommendation. And if there's anybody out there who liked Breaking Bad and has not yet watched Ozark, you're missing out. Obviously it's very different story-wise, and it hits that note. It's like, it's that same roller coaster ride that I loved about Breaking Bad.
It's dubious people doing dubious things, and then a couple of good people doing things they have to do to get things right that are terrible. Like, it's Breaking Bad all the way. It's great.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah. Anyway. It's really good. So good.
It is really, really good.
And I don't know if you noticed this.
From Scott, right?
Yeah.
He was.
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed this, but the guy, the mob boss, Brian, that gets all wrapped up in this, is who's so brutal and everything.
The guy in Ozark?
Yeah.
Or the guy, the Mexican drug lord?
Oh, the Mexican drug lord. That guy. All right. He was so familiar. I was like, who is this guy? Who is this guy? It's driving me crazy. And I remember him now from the brief stint of the BSG spinoff, Caprica. He was young.
Young Adama.
Adama, yeah. He played that guy.
Right. Oh, yeah, no kidding.
So I had a real cognitive twist going with that guy because I was like, oh my gosh, he used to be the super nice guy. Now you're a dick. Anyway.
That's cool. And I love the fact that every episode opens with Ozark being spelled by a giant circle with a cross in it and four symbols from that upcoming episode in the Z-A-R-K shape.
It's really cool.
It's so clever.
It's a great show. Yeah. Totally worth seeing if you haven't seen it. It's on Netflix, so it'll be there forever. And you'll think of Justin Bateman in a whole new light. He's really, really good in it.
Yep.
And he produced it.
All right, so.
What? My goodness. Sorry. What? Sorry. Do you hear that?
No, what is it?
No.
Oh, you don't hear that?
No.
I guess my audio's not working through Discord.
Guess you'll be sending a clip to Scott.
I guess so. It works through my audio works through Skype. I finally fixed it, but I guess it's not working through.
Discord. There's a little bit of a trick. Actually, is Scott, there? We can try this really, really quick. Yeah. Okay. So I'm gonna play something. Let me know if it's. I'll just play this.
Yeah, I hear it.
Now, is it doing its clippy thing where it?
No.
I don't know.
Okay.
Oh yeah, it did. It did do a clip.
Well, it does it when we talk. If we say something, it clips. But
It should when we do that. Okay, so there's a setting that if you turn off automatically determine input sensitivity, then that fixes that that clipping issue that we were having whenever I tried to play audio.
Oh, that must be why you can't ever. You never have a problem having mine cut out because I have that off from the get go. I never had that on.
Yeah, probably.
Tell
me
if you hear this.
Okay.
But not my Jack. So sweet.
You hear it?
Totally hear it. Yeah.
Totally. Is a woman talking?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I can play it. Yay! I figured it out.
Well done, Brian. Look at this little. Ladies and gentlemen, you're welcome. If you need more, like and subscribe to our Discord technical podcast. Well done, everybody. All right. Here, you were setting up your clip. What were you going to do there?
That is correct. I'm not setting up this clip because you're going to hear it and you're going to say I know exactly what that is. But I watched it, I enjoyed it, and it's impossible to find a clip that doesn't give itself away.
All right, here it is. Check it out.
I'm Bill. I serve chips. He's a professor or a lecturer, or as I call him, Dr. Watt. And now we go everywhere.
It's like a
spaceship.
Kitchen. Any space?
Where are we?
Which way is that?
What's the garlic?
Can I use the toilet? Any time.
Get in!
What? And now I see everything differently.
Where are we?
Basically in the middle of a war. And it's not as bad as it sounds.
I'm the doctor. I will save all your lives, and when I do, you will spend the rest of them wondering who I was.
Are you out of your mind?
Yes, completely, but that's not a recent thing.
Sounds like Capaldi, Capaldi Doctor Who to me.
Exactly what it is. And there's, you know, again, I could have probably cut that clip off with just the Bill Pott stuff at the beginning, but where's the fun in that? You got to hear
Wilhelm scream.
You got to hear the noise that the TARDIS makes, all that stuff.
Yeah.
This is the newest season that is on Amazon. So season 10, the last season of Peter Capaldi, and the first and only season with Bill Potts as his companion. A very different season. Well, you know what? I take that back. I wouldn't say it's a very different season because it's kind of still the same style of show. They go somewhere, they solve an issue, they TARDIS the hell out of there, you know, at the end, etc.
Right. Everyone TARDISes the hell out at the end. That's always true.
TARDIS the hell out of there.
Yeah.
But it had its high points, and there were a couple low points of like, all right, well, this is kind of same-o. But overall, a very enjoyable season. I love the direction that it went, and I also really am excited for the Jodie Whittaker season, which probably will land on Amazon in about 6 months or a year or something.
Sure.
Who knows?
That's okay. You can pace it out. By the way, turn your thing off that you turned on because it's making you fade. No, you're fine. It's just that it makes us so we talk over you more and it sucks. Hey, well, all right then. I need to finally catch up on me on some Who there.
Of course. You start with the the Eccleston seasons and just go from there. You don't have to go all the way back.
That's on Netflix, right? Or is it all on?
I think all of it's on Amazon Prime.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go in there and get it. I like me some Prime. Here's my clip. This is not what I told Brian it would be. I've decided to go a different direction.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah,
so it's something I binged a few episodes on, and I don't quite know what to think about it. I'm not even sure I'm recommending it, but it's so weird, I had to talk about it. So here it is.
Only the strong ones survived. It's the history of power. This world was dominated by demons.
Akira! I need you right now! Hurry! Is my body? What happened to it?
You're a man who possesses both the body of a devil as well as the heart of a human.
Okay.
Tetsuo! I know it's not Akira, but...
No, but I swear, every anime, there are people named Ryu and Akira in them.
Right. Tetsuo!
I don't understand that. Why do they all have these names? Why is Akira
It's like the John, Mike, and Steve of Japan.
It must be. Seriously, it must be like the John of that country. But anyway, so I'm not even that big of a anime guy. I don't really watch a lot of anime stuff. But I sat down and watched Devil Man Crybaby.
Okay.
It's the name of it. It's a Netflix original, which means they helped produce it, but it's very from Japan. There's nothing about it that's, you know, westernized other than it has a dub over, but it also has it's got like five languages you can choose if you want dubs. If you want to just do subtitles, you can do that. So it's nice to have that actually with this stuff. But at any rate, it is.
Still have not watched Little Prince.
No, and yet somehow, mainly because I'm saving that for Carter, and we never seem to be able to get the time. We have to freaking do that. Anyway, my point is, it is weird. It is one of the weirdest things I've ever seen, and it is absolutely not, this is not a, this isn't the freaking Pokemon or something. This isn't for kids.
Yeah, no kids.
Yeah, there's stuff in this that's
a lot of blood and nudity in this.
Lots of weird nudity and weird violence. Like, it's a strange, and I listen, it's all strange, especially translated in with dubs. It's like, what are they even talking about half the time? It doesn't, some of the stuff just makes no sense, but at the same time, I'm super intrigued by it. Right. Basically, the story is this guy, he's a high school kid who's just a big wimp, and every time anyone sees him, he's crying because he's not good enough for whatever reason, just sitting around crying all the time. That's where, I guess, the crybaby part comes in. Mm. And yeah. At some point, some old friend he grew up with, who wears nothing but white parkas, which makes no sense to me, shows up and says, hey, I can now tell you what's going on. You're going to come help me. And this kid becomes Devil Man because inside, like it said in the intro, he's got the body of a man or the body of a devil, but the heart of a man or of a human. And so his job is to go around by this other guy sort of tells him what to do, but he goes around and kills demons that are hiding in plain sight as humans. But in the meantime, there's this drama about
a movie called They Live.
It does a little bit, except it's more like you go to a party, and at the party, because it's so debauchery at the party, that's where the devils come out and you can identify them. So somebody will explode and tentacles will come ripping out of their face, and you're like, oh, that's definitely a devil. And then Devil Man will fight him. And whenever he turns into Devil Man, he goes, I'm not a kid. I'm Devil Man. I mean, it's really stupid, but kind of great. I mean, I feel like it's the essence of why people like weird anime. It might be a poster child for that. So I think I'm recommending it. If you're really put off by that sort of thing, though, maybe not. But I'm intrigued enough to keep going, and I've been rewatching Cowboy Bebop as well, kind of while I work, and I love that. I love Cowboy Bebop, but this is different, and it's on Netflix. It's considered an original. It's its first season. It just came out, and it's something, man. I don't know how else to explain it. It's something else. They're weird over there. I swear, man. Either they're playing a big joke on Western civilization, or they're as weird as they portray themselves.
Right. That's hilarious.
And I also don't get this.
Netflix,
go ahead.
They're also starting sometime in February a new, like, you know, they're doing this whole new talk show and unscripted show thing, like the Dave Letterman thing. Mm-hmm. But then Joel McHale is getting his own show, weekly show on.
He's going to bring back Talk Soup, basically, right?
I
hope so.
That's what I heard. Yes. I heard it was very Talk Soupy was the plan.
Great.
Yeah. And somebody else is getting a thing. Jon Stewart's getting a thing that's like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love that.
Dude, freaking Netflix. Killing it right now.
Totally.
The original content. All right. Well, there you go. Maybe I'll recommend that other weird thing next week, but this was weirder and therefore took its place. All right, Nicole, what do you got for us?
Before I do my recommendal, Scott, was it you that recommended Legion?
Yes. And Brian, too. We both really like Legion a lot, I think.
Mm-hmm. So it finally came back to Hulu. Mm-hmm. Oh. And Mark and I watched it. Well, I watched it. Mark was playing some stupid iPad game, and he's like, I'm really confused. I'm like, because you're not watching the damn show.
Mark. Yeah.
Right.
But I just want to say that was an excellent recommendation, because that movie was so weird and creepy and awesome. Or it felt like a movie, but it's a TV show.
Yeah.
But it's coming back in April, and I can't wait.
Yeah, so. It's so good. Noah Hawley can do no wrong, in my opinion. He's responsible for the Fargo reboot as well as this. Mm-hmm. And he is just,
Plaza's fantastic.
Jermaine Clement was a pleasant surprise. And did you hear that FX is going to do a series of What We Do in the Shadows?
No.
Oh, really?
Oh, no, I did hear this. I heard this yesterday. That's true. I didn't know if he was involved, though.
The werewolf sequel, but I didn't hear about a series. That's fantastic.
Yeah. I don't know who's involved in it, though, because I don't think it's the same guys doing stuff. It's like,
I don't care. Dude. I just love it.
Well, I agree. It's the second best movie of 2015. I don't have to tell you what the best movie of 2015 was. I don't have to tell you that again. Yeah.
Anyway. Certainly don't.
All right. So that was going to be my recommendal, but I was like, well, you've already recommended it. So I looked around and found something else. And I'm so glad I did. I have a very short clip. Is my audio doing okay for you?
Yeah, so far so good. You cut out a little when we talk, like kind of like it was for Brian before he switched off his thing, but it's not bad. You're good.
All right. So here's the trailer.
How did they talk me into this? I hate documentaries. I hate being on documentaries. I hate answering questions. Anyway, all right, what do you got? Let's begin the unpleasantness.
Is that what we're going to call it?
Yes,
today?
Let's begin the unpleasantness.
There you go.
I have no idea. I mean, it's obviously Larry like David. Larry yeah.
That was Larry David.
But it's not Your Enthusiasm. Is something else?
No, it's a documentary. So this is on Hulu. And it is a how many part documentary? So seven. It's like eight parts.
I'm already sold. I can't wait to tell.
It's called The History of Comedy.
Okay.
So I watched episode one and two last night. I couldn't play you any clips from episode one because it's all about, it's called effing funny. It's all about curse words. So they cover Lenny Bruce. They cover George Carlin. They cover Eddie Murphy, Red Fox. It was amazing.
Oh, nice. Give me the name one more time. What was the name?
Called The History of Comedy. CNN did this early 2017. The second episode was called The Funnier Sex. So it's all about women comedians.
And oh, yeah. These are, by the way, these are great. CNN does really good original documentary series. Like,
oh, yeah, no kidding.
Say what you want about, you know, shitty 24-hour news, but their series things they do are always really, really good. I'm excited about this now.
I was laughing out loud and Mark's trying to sleep and I'm like, oh, sorry, because it was brilliant. I'm even learning things. So do you know why? When you hear a comedian or if you cuss, so you say, oh, that's blue. Mm-hmm. Why do you think they say blue?
I don't actually know. I just always knew the term. What does it mean?
Something about a blue light to signify a whorehouse or something, right? No,
no,
something
different? Not okay. at all. So in
I've been going to the wrong whorehouse
during the vaudeville days.
Oh man, that's pretty good.
Red light. Everyone, keep, that red light?
Keep your eye. Yeah, keep your eye on Brian as he walks
like
around
I go
Vegas.
To the Kmart brothels, apparently.
Yeah, the blue light special brothels. Brian always needs a deal. He's always looking for a deal.
Oh my gosh! So during the vaudeville days, you know, vulgar comedy was not appropriate. They with vaudeville, they try to appeal to families, the largest audience possible.
Right.
So when an act had something that was objectionable or questionable, the people that ran the show would write the comments on a card and put it in a blue envelope and they would give it to the act to say, you need to remove this, this, and this from your act. It's too vulgar or whatever. So the concept of blue came from these blue envelopes that the comedians or performers would get. And I was like, that makes so much sense. So all the way back from vaudeville days. And then on the other side of it, it's funny that you brought up, you know, whorehouses. The kind of blue comedians, the vulgar comedians, they would be at burlesque shows. That's where their audience was. So that's where kind of that developed more and more because it was very considered very lowbrow kind of stuff. Right. So, So this documentary is amazing. I'm really looking forward to watching the next episode. They talk about Richard Pryor. I mean, it's just awesome.
Yeah. There's so much. You get a taste of this, like with comedians in cars getting coffee with Seinfeld.
Right.
And you get a taste of like where they talk about like, not the science, but the structure of comedy, why some things work, other things don't, why it depends on when you're saying the joke and what decade you're in could be a totally different reaction a decade later, or if you're in this country or that country. Like that stuff, for whatever reason, utterly fascinating to me. It's like the most interesting behavioral science that we have is comedy and why we laugh and stuff. And so what you're describing sounds like it's right up my butt. I'm totally excited about this.
They cover Andrew Dice Clay. And why he was popular and why he kind of fell and like how in the 80s it was like Sam Kennison. It covers all of that. And it's just like I'd always heard comedians when you hear comedians talk about like who influenced them. Lenny Bruce always comes up. I've never listened to Lenny Bruce. I don't know much about him, but they go into like kind of how he paved the way for a lot of comedians.
Yeah.
And he the brunt of a lot of stuff because he would be arrested because he made a lot of Pope jokes.
Yeah, especially in the 50s, early 50s, when this stuff was just like, you know, you just didn't do it.
Yeah,
he's like a legend, that guy.
There's a little story. George Carlin was in the audience of one of Lenny Bruce's shows, and he purposely got himself arrested so he could ride in the paddy wagon.
Oh my gosh.
Lenny Bruce.
Oh, really? Oh, that's hilarious.
And then they talk about Carlin's seven words you can't say on TV, which is, you've heard of that. I can't say, of course.
I can rattle my. I used to listen to that Class Clown album over and over. I finally bought it on CD years ago because I had the vinyl. Still have the vinyl somewhere. Oh. But yeah, love that.
I think
album.
A few of those rules have been broken this year. I think.
Yeah, NYPD Blue actually, I think, broke four of them.
Yeah, that's true. And now you can, you know, you can tune into the nightly news and learn about shitholes if you want.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, yes. It's pretty good.
But yeah, I highly recommend this documentary if you if you like comedy at all. This is it.
Awesome. I'm in. Cool. You've got me there. I'm gonna watch that one sometime this week, actually, if I can.
Hulu.
And then that Little Prince thing's coming up next after that. I swear. great. Nicole Spag on Twitter, everybody. She'll talk about these things more there. There's a great Twitter account to follow generally, but if you want to know more about what's going on with Rick and Mentals, that's the place to do it. Nicole, anything else you want to mention?
Oh, we finally recorded a Lazy Leap. My shoulder and my neck is finally starting to kind of calm down.
Oh, good.
So we recorded a Lazy Leap, and it's been like, well, when I got hurt, it's been almost 2 months.
Oh, so. Wow. Has it really been...
Yeah, I got hurt at the beginning of December, and our last show we recorded was at the end of November. So I've just been completely out. But yeah, we got together and we're starting to record again.
Well, that's awesome. Wow. I'm super stoked for it that you're also feeling better. That's the main thing.
Oh, yeah.
Have a fantastic one. We'll talk to you soon and enjoy living with Mark, which I can't imagine anyone does. Just kidding. We love Mark.
Oh, jeez.
I love Mark. He's wow. Great. He's great. Isn't he great? He's great.
Of course he's great. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. What's now? What's next? We're almost
now
done.
Now is drinking pickle juice.
Oh, shit. Okay. I forgot about this. Here's what we're going to do. I need some music for this. I don't know what. Let's do this. All right. This is a couple things we're going to do here. We're going to finally drink pickle juice that was given to us at Nerdtacular 2017 last July. Mm-hmm. June, whatever it was. No, it was July. Right. First weekend of July. No.
July.
Yeah. Whatever it was. The original Bob's Pickle Potion Sports Drink is what this is said to be.
Pickle Potion number 9.
Yep. And it's supposed to be good for hydration and stuff while you're having muscle cramps or if you're working out or whatever. Says on the back, these statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended for diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. So there's that. So whoever gave us these, I'm sorry I'm forgetting your name, but we are getting to it, okay? It's just that this seemed horrible and we never wanted to. Also, another Japanese treat. This time Brian will like it much better. It's not thick and liquid.
Right.
It's a little deal.
It's a little happy. He looks like a really happy marshmallow.
These were from, we do have his name handy. These are from Michael from Michigan. So let's start.
I think these came from MuCow because I'm seeing photos from MuCow. Yes, these definitely came from MuCow. He brought them to Nerdtacular.
Okay, MuCow, thanks, dude. He brought board games and pickle juice. All right, so let's. You know what I think we should start with?
You, baby.
We start with the marshmallow.
Oh, really?
You
don't want to save the marshmallow to get this taste of... okay, all right.
No, that's why, because I want to make this bad. It's got to be bad.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
All right, so I'm opening this up. Got a little marshmallowy goodness here. This seems fine, although it had a face on this. I thought it would have a face.
Nah, it's a lot of work to print a face on this. It really just looks like a squished Jet Puff marshmallow.
Thanks, Japan. Who's the real devil man now?
Now, who knows if there's something in the middle of this?
Oh, there could be. Should I open it?
Could be.
Without biting first?
No, I'm going to bite it.
Okay, here it goes. Oh, there is something in there.
Oh, yeah. Chocolate.
It's like a little turd.
Mmm.
Actually, that's not bad.
Oh, it's very good.
Like most Japanese candy, it's not that sweet, you know? Kind of less sweet than American stuff.
A more subdued sweetness to it. Yes, very cool.
All right, wash that down with the original Bob's Pickle Potion, number 9.
Oh, God. All right, here we go.
Number nine.
It is like one solid urine color, so it's not like we have to shake this up or anything.
Yeah, this is totally a urine. Oh.
The whiff?
Yeah. It is so pickly. Oh, my Lord, Brian. Have you smelled it yet?
Yeah. Absolutely, 100% pickly.
All right, here goes. Get this pickle in here. Yeah, that's pickled.
Yeah,
Pickle hell. That's pickly as hell. Woo!
It's actually not bad.
Yeah, you know what? I like a pickle, right? So yeah. I don't have so much trouble with the dill flavor. It just doesn't seem right to be drinking like a fully liquidized version of that, but
right. What a combo though. Chocolate marshmallows and pickle juice. Like yeah,
it's a bad choice.
When's the baby due?
Oh, speaking of which, we're still in Patrick Bejo watch 2018, and no baby yet. Should be any time, though. She
oh,
is
wow, okay.
Very pregnant and having all kinds of false labor pains, which can happen. But we want them to know we're thinking about them.
Nice.
And thanks for the weird food, everybody. If you enjoyed today's program, you might want to help support the show and bring us more things like pickle juice. Who knows? Go to patreon.com/TMS. That's the place to support us. It means a great deal when you do. We're primarily a crowd-funded effort, and we means a lot to us. So thank you guys for those who have, and to those who might, thank you in advance.
Yeah, you know, maybe more things like the chocolate-filled marshmallows.
Yeah.
maybe more things like that. No, I'm kidding. Well, whatever you send us. Look, I did the thickened liquid last week. Yeah. So.
Would you do this if it was thickened? Would you have drank this?
Oh, God.
Can you imagine?
Just visualizing. Ooh. Yeah, I think I would have. I would have tried it. Can't guarantee it would have stayed down.
Anyway.
No promises.
No promises. Anyway, the frogpants.com/TMS link is still the place to go if you want to get all the details you need, our email address. So if you want to send us Therapy Thursday questions, you can use that. That's themorningstream@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter, Coverville, Scott Johnson, and Morning Stream. Reminder, today at 2:30 Mountain Time, I will be co-hosting the Daily Tech News Show in Tom's stead with Sarah Lane. DailyTechNewsShow.com for details if you care to hear us talk about technology today in a way that is probably less than if Tom was here, because he's way better than this or than me. And he's also, you could call this a meritless show. That's a
right,
way to look at it.
It's a show without merit.
It's a show without merit. Yeah. So that's a thing. That'll be today. And a final reminder, this Saturday, I'm sure I'll tell you all again, this Saturday, 3 p.m. Mountain Time, there will be Dungeons with our inaugural show. We've already rolled our characters. We know who they are. We know what the story is going to be. Well, we know the setting. Bo is keeping everything else very close to the chest. And we launch into it this Saturday, and I am really, really jazzed about it. So
I'm excited about it, too. That's going to be great.
Yeah, and if it does well, like I say, future episodes could have all kinds of interesting things.
Sure, you never know. Sure.
So check it out. That's frogpants.com/TWBD. TWBD, short for There Will Be Dungeons, to get all the details. And I just put a tweet up so you can find the details there as well. All right, Brian, Coverville today at 1 o'clock. Don't forget that. You'll roll right into Daily Tech News Show after Coverville, so do that.
Perfect. Yeah, get your Cheap Trick, your Journey, and your DTNS right there.
Brian's always got a good Cheap Trick for you, so check that out. I guess that's it. Are we done? We're done. Brian, do you have music? We're what done. Do you got?
I have music. I have something going out to Ted from Sweden, Zalex in the Tadpool, T Zalex. Says, hello, Scott and Brian. On January 25th, it'll be exactly 2 years since my best friend and cousin, after struggling for 22 years with autism, depression, and schizophrenia, could not go any longer and took his life. Being the same age, we spent much of our childhood together, and we shared many of our struggles, with me also being diagnosed with autism and depression in my early teens, just like him. You were kind enough to play a song for him shortly after his passing, and I was hoping you'd play another one. I've included a few ideas. Pick whichever one works best. Thank you so much for all you do. Your shows have helped me through some rough times. Signed, Ted from Sweden. So, Tazalex, and I don't know how to pronounce it. Ask your doctor if Tazalex is right for you. But, I'm not sure if that's pronounced right, or if it's just Zalex and you don't pronounce the T like Pteranodon, you don't pronounce the P. I don't know.
Yeah,
anyway,
I don't either.
This one goes out to you. As one of your suggestions was a cover of Scorpion's Wind of Change. This is just such a sweet version that I couldn't not play it. It came out on the 2010 debut album from the band Lucky Uke, which makes it even sweeter because the ukulele is just such a sweet instrument. Here is Wind of Change by the Scorpions, covered by Lucky Uke.
Listening to the wind of change. August summer night, soldiers passing by, listening to the wind of change. Take me to the magic of the moment on the glory night, with the children of tomorrow dream away. Past forever. I follow the Moskva down to Gorky Park, listening to the wind of change. Take me to the magic of the moment on the glory night, where the children of tomorrow share their dreams with you and me. Take me to the magic of the moment on the glory night, where the children of tomorrow dream away in the wind of change. The wind of change blows straight into the face of time, like a storm that will rain. Children of tomorrow share their dreams with you and me. Take me to the magic of the moment on the glory night, where the children of tomorrow dream away in the wind of change.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Ooh.